Hello, welcome to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. I am Tyler W. Moore.
And I'm Christopher Strunk.
We're still talking about Hayao Miyazaki movies. Today we're talking about Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle, Ponyo, and The Wind Rises. Let's get right into Spirited Away.
I wanted to pause there and see what happens.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and start off. I mentioned in the last part that this is technically the first Miyazaki movie I'd seen because I watched it on Cartoon Network back in like 2006, and I hated it the first time I saw it. I thought the main character was very annoying. I wasn't really used to that sort of animation style, so it was really off-putting to me. But like the second time I watched it, you know, I was a little bit more used to the style, and I kind of understood what they were going for with Chihiro a little bit better. Like, she starts off annoying and she sort of grows on you a little bit more. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a hard sell, but you know, it definitely works out in the end. She, you know, you definitely like Chihiro by the end of the movie.
Yeah, I just remember like the most frightening thing in the entire world was like whenever her parents turned to pigs.
Oh yeah, because like, I think someone was actually talking about this on something I was listening to once at some point in time. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
They say that like the scariest movies for them are like the ones where there's a moment where there's no turning back. Like, something gets fucked up and you can't really go back and fix it. Just this. So like, there was that moment where it's just like, oh, like how do you possibly like come back from that, you know? And I think
yeah,
that really sort of sets the tone for this movie.
Yeah, it was great. It was one of the first ones I watched as well. I think I watched this one second, actually. I couldn't believe how well that story was told. Like, just like, so the pig thing, and also the guy that works like the steam.
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
Oh, yeah. He was one of the best parts of the movie.
Yeah, again, another one with just great characters. This one isn't... This is probably his, like, most standout movie in terms of, like, it's not really like any of the others.
This one actually won him the Oscar, mm-hmm. too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which he then decided not to show up to the awards ceremony for.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because he was protesting the Iraq War, and that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's the whole thing.
Nice, anyway. Nice job, Osama bin Laden. You It wasn't me this time. It wasn't me this time.
You're talking about Osama bin Laden. All right, stop. Clearly, we've moved off
no,
the deep
end. No, you're offending me by making fun of the people who did 9/11, Chris.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, Faceless was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had like a ton of personality. Even like before he was, either he was kind of like, was like that huge freaking creature like eating everybody.
Yeah,
it was really awesome. You know, I was kind of afraid. Like whenever he threw up everybody, except for the frog. I was like, I kept sitting there. I was like, what the frog? The frog? He's still in there. Frog? Hello? Is the frog going to come out at some point in time? Is the frog dead now? I was like, oh my god, the frog's important right now.
Let's stop the movie. I need to know the frog's okay.
Yeah, seriously, I was like, please. Like, I can't kill the frog. I'm like, that's so mean. And also, I was like, okay, good, he's okay now. It's fine.
I'll probably say this might be. Oh, I'm so between this and another movie.
As and like my, Ponyo.
No. As my favorite Miyazaki movie. It's so good. All the characters are really great. It's probably not the best animated one, but like probably second best animated one.
This one's tied with me for second place.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I love the fact that like I can't remember her name right now, is the old lady
Yobaba.
Yobaba, thank you. Like, you showed like her, and she's not necessarily like, it's probably the closest to a villain you can possibly get in like in those movies.
Yeah.
Without actually being a villain.
Right.
Like, she's not actually a villain, she's just the antagonist
right.
of the story.
Like, she's not like setting out to, you know, ruin Chihiro's life or anything. It's just kind of what ends up happening. Like,
yeah,
she's just kind of going with the motions, and like she even, you know, when she's in like a really horrible situation with No Face, when she's in that situation, like she's you know, trying to help her out. She's and like she definitely like appreciates, she shows appreciation like when she does something well and all that.
Great, that was a great description of her. But like it goes from like her to her sister. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was like great. It's like, I mean, people, I've read before people like complain about how it's like, oh, it's the same design, blah blah blah. That's what made it awesome.
Mm-hmm.
To me. Was that you see this character here that you look at as like maybe she's like this repulsive person or whatever. But then you show like this mirror image of her basically.
Yeah.
And like this character here that you actually love now, it's like, which kind of like when you go back, it makes you kind of like, you like the character a little bit more.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
That really helped out.
Right.
With the characterization in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing in this movie we're talking about is that baby.
Oh my god, yeah. Oh my god, yeah.
If we were talking about nightmare inducing things, that, yes, that will give you a nightmare.
But yeah, great movie. Already own it. Awesome movie.
5 spirits out of 4.
I give it No Faces out of 10.
Great. Great movie. Oh, definitely buy this movie. This is definitely a buy, mm-hmm, movie.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This is a must watch. Yeah.
Yes. Speaking of must watches.
Howl's Moving Castle.
That's right. Great segue, huh?
Yes.
This one is... this one's interesting. This one right here, I think this right here like splits the fan... fans in half right here, 'cause like you see like half of them are like, this is one of his best things, like works,
mm-hmm,
and the ones are saying this is one of like his least best works.
Wow,
best,
I can't even imagine someone thinking
I
that.
Know, and I've talked to people, a bunch of people, like my friends, whatever, about this movie. They're like, oh, it wasn't that good. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Christian Bale was like, he'd watched, I think it was A Spirit Away.
Probably.
And was like, I had to be in the next Miyazaki movie.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be in there. And of course, they made him in this right here. He didn't care what part he had. It's like, it didn't give a crap. He just had to be in this.
Yeah.
And I think he did a great job.
Oh, yeah, he's great in this.
Everybody, I think this movie has some of the best voice work.
Oh, yeah.
Like I think like Totoro in this right here is like the best work.
Oh,
best,
yeah.
Best voice work. Because like Gene Simmons, fantastic. Lauren Bacall was fantastic. Billy Crystal. I like Billy Crystal anyway, but
yeah,
he was just great in this.
Yeah, really great cast in this movie.
Oh yeah, the castle itself, I was really surprised by like it looking like that. I was like, oh, it's like Howl's Moving Castle. That's kind of weird, but whatever else, I'll watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And man, oh man, that was a great choice to
first
watch this one.
Yeah, first one I watched, recently, not counting the first time I watched Spirited Away. Yeah. Started off with probably the best one, and I'm going to go ahead and throw out this one has the best animation.
Second best animation for me.
You want to fight?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. By the flagpole after school.
No, I'm going to see you at recess.
Okay.
By a swing set.
Okay. I'm going to beat you up and take your chocolate milk carton.
You know what I'm gonna do? Exactly what I did back when I was in high school and junior high. And they told me to go meet me by that time, I'll beat you up, and I just went the other direction.
Uh-huh.
just ended up being somewhere else.
Man, what a pussy.
Yeah, so. And
okay.
Anyway, so Howl's Moving Castle.
Yes. This is probably like, so not counting the sort of save the forest type movies, this is the best version of the action adventure movies. Might even including the save the forest movie, this is probably the best adventure movie.
It definitely has a lot going for it. Like the story itself just kind of captivates you the entire time.
Mm-hmm. It has a really like a very grand scope to it.
Oh yeah. Just like the whole like traveling different different countries, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Howl pretending to be different magicians,
right,
or wizards. That was like kind of fun. Like then, like the whole war stuff going on at the same time as him trying to get out of all the stuff right here, and like having the Wicked Witch of the West, which I thought was West the entire time I watched the movie. I thought it was West. Yeah. I was like, that's a weird name. Blah blah blah. I don't want to go into West for. It's kind of strange. Anyway.
What are you trying to say about the West, Miyazaki? What are you trying to say about us, bro?
Texas is awesome.
That's why she was so fat, Chris, because she is from Texas.
Lots of pork dinners. Anyway. Probably ate Pocoroso, actually. Anyway.
But yeah, really, really great movie. Probably, like I said, best animation. So, like, a lot of the... it's just really great shots. Like just looking at the backgrounds in this movie, I want to watch this movie again just so I can like look at backgrounds and just
just take the characters out of there for a while and just kind of just watch the backgrounds happen.
Yeah, man.
That's one thing about like Japanese movies, is that it's like watching a painting.
Yeah, it's like attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are literally watching a painting, but
almost, yeah, it's fantastic for that kind of style. American movies were just kind of like, oh, let's cut here, whatever.
Right.
They leave it on a cut sometimes where it's just like, let's get all the motion we can't get out of this thing.
Right.
Absolutely. Without going too far. And when once you hit that, you've hit it, just stop, cut to another thing.
Yeah. Never overstays it's welcome, but it's there.
Exactly.
As long
yeah.
as it is welcome.
I also said this has my favorite female character out of all of his movies, which may sound kind of weird, but I loved Sophie in this.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that she was like probably, you know, very strong female character.
That's not a weird point, seeing as most of these movies have female leads.
That's true. That's something we didn't talk about at all, is that his movies have almost all female leads.
Mm-hmm.
Except for like a couple here and there.
Yeah.
Like most of them, though, were basically like female... oriented centric movies.
Right.
And he does a great job with that stuff. Like, he doesn't make him like even though another girl is not the main like central part, whatever, she's not damsel in distress.
Right.
You know? I think that's like one point in time, like in Castle in the Sky, it was kind of damsel in distressy, but like even then, it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
so that's not the closest.
Like, you know, yeah. I watch, like, television shows nowadays, and, like, all the women are written to be, like, irrational and stupid. Like, oh, yeah, she's on the rag this episode. Like, yeah, she's gonna be a fucking idiot. Like, in these movies, like, they act consistently like other human beings. It's,
yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, people make a big deal about, like, oh, you know, writing women. It's so difficult. How do you do it? How does it work?
You write them like a person.
Yeah, you write a human being. That's all you do.
Yeah. I think that was George R.R. Martin who writes mm-hmm.
I've always thought of women as people. That was his response.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, done. Yeah, I think that's great. I think he does a great job with writing women, and maybe that's right there. Let's go back to Totoro for a second. Okay. You said you were scared of the creature Totoro, right?
Yeah.
Maybe if you were female, you would be less scared of the Totoro.
I don't know. I don't know about that, Chris. I think May? Mai? What's her name?
May.
I think May's just a little crazy in the head.
Just like 3 years old. What is she now? Everything's awesome to her.
Yeah. She's just going to get her head bitten off by a giant rabbit.
I mean, lesson learned. That's not a rabbit, by the way. That's not... Anyway,
if you had to pick one animal to describe Totoro, it's probably a rabbit.
Giraffe.
A giraffe? I'm sorry. What?
I failed first grade. Okay, sorry.
Okay, so yeah.
Hulu Castle, great movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Already own it. Great movie.
I think if you had to like choose like a weakest moment in the movie, actually, you know what? What do you think is the weakest moment in the movie? Weakest moment to you, maybe.
It's been long enough that I've probably forgotten what the weakest moment would be.
I would say just that some of the time traveling thing was probably a little bit weak.
Yeah.
Kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, it told you the story of like why Hal's like this right here, where his heart is, and all that stuff like that.
Right.
So it kind of ends up working, but at the same time, it's kind of like maybe there could have been a better way of doing this, but maybe not. Isn't that a better way?
Right.
Maybe I'm just wrong.
It's serviceable, but it's not like there might have been a better way to do it.
So 20 houses out of 3.
I give it 50 moving castles.
But this is all for a guy named Jamie Zinn, which you can reach him at jamiezinn.com.
Yeah. No, you can't. You have to get that domain name again, Chris.
Do I? Okay, I'll get it back. No worries. Okay. Don't go on there. Tomorrow. I'm not sure, honestly, what's going to be on there, so don't go to that website. Don't do it.
jamiezinn.com.
Yeah. All right, anyway.
If you want to watch Miyazaki movies for free, go to jamiezinn.com.
Oh, no.
Do it.
Speaking of Jamie Zinn, so Ponyo, Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
He was great. I loved him in this movie. And every movie he's ever in.
It's a very weird casting choice, like, just based on the character and especially the design of the character. But, like, once you kind of get over the fact that, yeah, it's Liam Neeson, it's, he fits the role. He does a good job.
You know who was great casting as well?
Who?
Betty White. Was.
Oh, yeah.
She was in this, yeah. So it also has Lily Tomlin, who is a fantastic actress. She's been, like, she mostly doesn't play, like, big parts in shows or movies. But she was great as, like, the complaining lady who's, like, trying to teach, God, I can't remember these people's names anymore. Like, I have terrible names here. God, the boy. But, like, how the boy is, like, the goldfish has Ponyo. And she's like, get rid of that right there, it causes a tsunami, blah, blah, blah. And she's like a conspiracy theorist almost.
Yeah.
And she's great. She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's like a lot of grandmas.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. She's like the grandma everybody knows about. So.
Do you know they're putting fluoride in her water?
Oh, God. Communists and fluoride, right?
Again, our Stanley Kubrick podcast that was also on our iTunes feed. You should go back and listen to that one if you're interested in Stanley Kubrick. Yeah.
Oh, you know who's a great female actress that was in this? Tina Fey.
Who? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was going to bring her up. She was really good in this.
I was about to say Matt Damon, by the way. Just kind of threw you off a little bit.
Oh, shut up, Chris. Shut your mouth. It's not your fault, Chris.
Don't know. Don't fuck with me, man.
It's not your fault.
Come on, man.
Not you, man.
It's you, man.
Fuck them, man.
That's our Good Will Hunting podcast. It doesn't exist right now, which it will at some point, I'm sure.
So here are some things I wrote down, Chris.
Okay.
It's pretty good most of the way through. Very cute. Ending is stupid.
I wouldn't say it's stupid. I'd say it's weak.
I don't know, man. Like I was really enjoying the movie, and then the ending happens.
Ponyo likes him.
It was kind of lame.
Well,
it's like, oh, do you promise you'll love her forever? Like, dude, you're 5. you're 5, bro.
It's different cultures, man. All right. You ever heard of child brides?
You ever have a bath with your father, Chris?
I'm not sure, honestly.
Answer the question, Chris.
I don't want to answer the question.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
You like movies by gladiators? Okay, we're down quitting Airplane.
You ever go to the gymnasium?
So quitting Airplane. This podcast is all kind of messed up right now, by the way.
God. Anyway, I also wrote down good casting. Probably won't see it again. Wouldn't buy it.
I mean, I don't buy the story either, but I did buy the movie.
I don't buy it, Chris. I don't think that you could have a little mermaid girl.
That's what's better. This was the story of it was inspired by Hans Christian
Walt Disney's Little Mermaid.
Oh, no. Hans Christian Andersen's story, The Little Mermaid. By the way, if you never read the original story, Little Mermaid. Don't. If you want to read a really depressing story, read that one.
Yeah.
Oh God, why is it like the Disney movies that they like have whatever? It's like they have like Hunchback. By the way, Hunchback Notre Dame is like one of the most depressing stories of all time. And they somehow made it into one of the best Disney movies.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's, yeah, still visually very good. Definitely not as good as some of, like, the past couple movies he had done in terms of animation, but, like, still very nice look to it. It has a look all of its own, sort of.
The mother. Let's talk about the mother for a second.
Oh, yes.
Her driving.
Oh, yes. That's
my note right now. It's my, one note I have right now. But her terrible driving.
Yes. I love that stuff.
She's the scariest driver I've ever seen in my entire life in a movie.
Yeah, yeah. The mother character is really great in this, actually.
No, she is great, but just her driving. Just like, you know, it's raining horribly, it's flooded terribly. I'm gonna leave my kid alone with some fish girl.
Yeah, dad driving dough.
Yeah, I think that she should also be cast in the next Fast and Furious movie. You'd do great in there.
I think Ponyo would
Ponyo
be great
Drift.
In Fast and Furious. Ponyo Drift. Yeah. Do you think Ponyo would eat Porco Rosso?
Ponyo does love ham, so yeah, probably. Yeah. Yes. Speaking of eating ham, the wind rises.
That's enough of Ponyo, huh?
All right.
I was done with Ponyo 10 minutes ago. Just waiting for you to get all your points out of the
way. All right. I think Wind Rises has the best casting out of all of the movies. I'm going to start it now. Mm. Best casting.
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I agree with that. John Krasinski. Christ almighty. John Krasinski. Emily Blunt. Martin Short. Stanley Tucci. Manny Patinkin. And William H. Macy. That's just like some of the top ones. Which, if you want to look at like actors who have some of the best careers, Stanley Tucci is one of the top actors to, like, I think you and I agree on this right here. Like, he's a great actor. Like, he has like movies that come out. He has like, God, he has like 5 movies a year, 6 movies a year, whatever it is. He is prolific.
Yes.
And he's wonderful each time. Sometimes kind of coming on as like a really good female action star is now Emily Blunt, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, really great casting. Just really good characters in general, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, like, it's kind of been a running theme with all these movies, but yeah, man, it's probably the best emotional piece he's done.
Yeah.
For sure.
One of my favorite things about the movie is that, like, the movie isn't necessarily about what the movie is about. That makes sense at all.
Yeah.
Like, the movie is actually really just about the creative process.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else is kind
of
like...
It's a movie where, like, the story is a metaphor.
Yeah. Basically, much. Yeah. And that, I think, is some of the best stuff right there. Like, you win some, you lose some. Well, you're trying to create something, and that's kind of a sad way of putting it. Like, his wife dying, basically.
You lose some.
Yeah. That was sad. Out of all the movies, this actually made me cry. I'll admit that right now. I cried like a baby. Whatever. Like, I know.
Didn't happen for me, but because man, I'm actually the guy who like fucking every other movie probably makes me cry. But didn't happen this time.
So that's some of the best music in it too.
Oh yeah, I was gonna. Yeah, my notes. I had great score. He kind of has that really nice sort of Italian sound to it,
which I think that I love. I think that that's like the mixture of like the Japanese visuals with the Italian spin on it worked out really well. Once again, like I said, that I mean the composer for all his movies has just been consistent. Like no matter what, like you can listen to like the Ponyo soundtrack, listen to, I mean, you didn't like Ponyo that much or Porco Rosso, the soundtracks are always great. Like, just like this, the music always fits really well, and you always helps with the scene. It never overpowers the scene. It's like just perfect for it.
Right.
One of my favorite little visual bits in there, like whenever Jiro and the Italian Cabrone,
yeah,
on the top of the plane, and they're just kind of sailing through the air a little bit, and like there's the winds in their hair, and it's like that's my favorite shot of the whole movie.
Oh yeah.
I just like I'll go back and I just pause. That's great. If you want to like look at a screensaver, that's your screensaver right there. That's like the best screensaver you can possibly get.
I've kind of written down like, you know, it's overall a really great movie. I'd say maybe a little bit too long. Like, it's just kind of a little bit stoppy starty. I think that's what, honestly, that's my only complaint about it, is that like a couple times it feels like, oh, like it's kind of just still, it's still kind of going just full speed right now. Like where it, like, you know, it feels like, oh, maybe it should be kind of winding down, or like, you know, it's opening up a new plot point, when it's like, oh, don't we have plenty already? Or
Well, this movie also has really bad luck going for it, because it came out, it was nominated for an Oscar the same year as Frozen.
Yeah.
And if you read all the little cards that the voters for the Oscars wrote, what's one of the things that they all said, Tyler?
Oh, I didn't watch that movie, but my kid likes Frozen, so, you know.
Yeah. By the way, not to say that Frozen is not a good movie. By the way. Good movie. But this one should have stood a better chance than that, and unfortunately they just didn't give a crap about
it. They probably, yeah, you know, better competition between them rather than Frozen. I assume Frozen probably won by a landslide, because just assumes, oh, it's Disney, it's probably the best one.
Honestly, though, I think, Tyler, I think you and I just need to let it go. Okay, I'll be in my trailer.
It's here all week, folks. Is this thing on?
Oh, God, please don't. And if you're wondering, by the way, how he and I are still friends, we're not.
Tough crowd.
Just shut my collar a little bit.
The cane's coming in from the side of the stage and he's going to pull you off, Chris.
Yeah, start going like Rodney Dangerfield all of a sudden. Anyway, so this movie here. This is my favorite movie. I'm going to say it right now. This is my favorite of the Miyazaki films. The visuals, the music, the story, the dialogue, everything was great in this one. Mm-hmm. Which mentions the fact that, like, Miyazaki, when he does, like, his movies, most people will write a script. He just starts doing the storyboards. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, like, he's, like, kind of like, I don't know what's going to turn into yet.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. This, especially because we watched the documentary.
Yeah, it's the documentary called Kingdom of Dreams and Madness.
Right. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, great movie. Great documentary, yeah.
But yeah, man, really, really nice movie. I would watch it again. Like, I would, you know, definitely sit down and watch it for sure. Probably wouldn't buy it though.
Oh, I disagree wholeheartedly with that one.
It didn't stand out as like one of my favorites or anything, but I mean, I can understand why it's like your favorite.
It also helps the fact that it has a backdrop of pre-World War II, mm-hmm. which is a great background for me. I'm a World War II junkie. Mm-hmm. I watch everything World War II.
The history, Nazi memorabilia all over his house.
And like the Zero, which is what Jiro is trying to basically mm-hmm. design, Mitsubishi Zero. Next time you're driving your Mitsubishi Galant, just think that just think what could have been. What planes they made. Yeah. Oh man, that's something else. Cause like some of these like car manufacturers, like they made warplanes. It's like, you don't think about that. You think about the fact that Mitsubishi was like, they made a scary plane.
Yeah.
I mean, for a while until Zero was way overtaken later on, just because.
You know, a thought that occurred to me.
What's that?
While we were watching this, like. Yeah, we're watching the Japanese side of World War II. Like,
oh yeah, so that's also, that you don't see that very often.
Yeah,
is the Japanese side of things, because this guy here, like, even though yes, this is a very very fictional take on his life, mm-hmm. he was as far as I've read, not a fan of war. He mm-hmm. didn't build planes. Really didn't build planes for war. He built them because he just loved planes and aeronautics.
And as we've said, Miyazaki is pretty anti-war, and it very, very much shows in this movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't call this necessarily it's basically an anti-war movie, but I wouldn't throw it into like the same kind of category.
It's not like in your face about it. It's just... Yeah.
It just like, kind of shows you like, hey, you know, there was a bad side to this war as well. Like, there was...
know, so there was a bad side.
It wasn't just like, you know, glory and pomp and circumstance. It was like, hey, there was bad things that happened. Like, there was very, very in the movie where it shows like all the planes have been down and like it shows like them like flying through the air into the heavens. That was a very sweet moment right there. Kind of shows like, you know, because the question he asked him was, do you want to live in a world with pyramids or without pyramids? If you want to live in a world with pyramids, you have to live in a world with all the stuff that comes with pyramids. With all the slavery and the crap that took place to build the things.
Right.
And, of course, you would choose a world with pyramids because pyramids are freaking awesome. So
I would choose a world without pyramids.
I would say that this is probably best one. His supposedly last one, which I guess Howl's Moving Castle was supposed to be the last one, too. So
it was Mononoke.
Mononoke, that's right, yeah. God, he retires more often than Brett Favre does. Old joke.
Yeah.
There you go, yeah.
So, rank the movies.
Nope.
Here's what I'm going to do. Number one is Howl's Moving Castle. Number two, Spirited Away. Number three, Princess Mononoke. Number four, My Neighbor Totoro. Five, Kiki's Delivery Service. Six, Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. Seven, The Wind Rises. Eight, Castle in the Sky. Nine, Porco Rosso. And 10, Ponyo. So, Chris.
I have a top three.
Okay. Give me your top three and your bottom three. How about that?
Okay. I will try my best to find a bottom three real fast.
You said you had a bottom three.
I said I could have a bottom three.
Okay.
So, top three. The Wind Rises, Howl's Moving Castle, and Spirited Away.
Okay.
And Totoro.
Okay.
So that's my top three. Just okay. Four movies. My bottom three. I guess I have to throw Ponyo in there, which is kind of too bad. It's not a bad movie to me. I'm just going to throw it in there anyway. Ponyo, I guess Porco Rosso, might as well throw it in there. Lupin?
Sure.
I don't know. I'm on the spot here. I don't know, man. I think Tales from Earthsea is probably the worst movie about Miyazaki.
Jeez.
That was his son, by the way.
Yeah.
Ponyo
only gets the bottom spot for me just because of the ending.
I guess so.
I think that's like the one time in a Miyazaki movie where I was just like, oh, I actually genuinely did not like that part of that movie.
You know what part I didn't like about Tales from Earthsea? The whole freaking movie. The whole thing. I guess it's been kind of mean there. We'll maybe get onto that in a few years if we ever do podcasts.
Yeah. We'll get on it in a few years. Chris will watch it next month. Or he's already watched it.
I've already watched it, so I'm good.
I'll watch that again. Everything. Yeah. This podcast has been a train wreck. Thank you for listening to the Halloween special. This episode probably went up in November for sure.
Of which year? Let's not.
Of 2016.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we're talking about Christmas movies.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. Be sure to leave your correspondence and subscribe for more. For updates on this show and our other projects, check out illuminationcinema.com.